following message is from Christian Life Austin. For more information about Christian Life, visit clcaustin.com. Thank you for listening.
Tonight we're going to dive into the Word of God, and I'm excited about what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. And really, in my personal just kind of alone time with the Lord and just daily Bible reading recently, I've been working my way through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And you've read it. I just kind of felt the desire to just walk back through it and read it again. And just, you know, every time you read the Word of God, there's just something else that just jumps out at you. And though you've read it a lot, it's amazing how you just find something new every single time. And the book of 1 Samuel is an incredible, incredible book. It's very interesting. In fact, it's the book where there is a major change in the government in Israel. Upon their request, they move from a theocracy to a kingdom, with Saul being selected to rule. The book of 1 Samuel includes characters that you would have no doubt heard of, some for good reasons and some for not so good reasons. People like Samuel, people like Saul, names like David. Ever heard of Goliath? Bathsheba? Absalom? Tamar? Really, as you dive into the book of 1 Samuel, you'll see some iconic characters throughout the Word of God that you would have no doubt heard and know a lot about their story. But tonight, I want to take us back to the very beginning of 1 Samuel. Again, there's so much that happens, but I want to start with the very beginning of 1 Samuel and show you how all of this came to be. And we're going to look at the life of a woman tonight whose life, really, we only get just a freeze frame, like this, the seasons of her life, but it's almost as if really you take a screenshot and then you get this section of her life. A chapter and a half really is all that we know of this woman by the name of Hannah. And that's all we get. And I want to look at this chapter, if you will, and walk through kind of what the Lord has been pointing out to me over the last several weeks. And the way that I just kind of pinned it was we're going to look at four seasons of Hannah's life. Four seasons of Hannah's life. Hannah was a woman who, to people looking on, would have seemingly had everything that she could have wanted. She was married to a man by the name of Elkanah who had means. So they weren't struggling financially. She married into money. On the outside, things were good. She had made it. Daddy, I ain't struggling no more. On the outside, things were good, and though she had access to almost anything that money could buy, what she didn't have was the very thing that she wanted most. And we see very quickly into her story what that was. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 2, he, speaking of Elkanah, had two wives. This is Old Testament, guys. This is Old Testament. Y'all a little slow tonight. Y'all sleepy. One was called Hannah, and the other was called Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. Here it is. But Hannah had none. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all of her sons and daughters, but to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And watch, ooh, this is tough. And the Lord had closed her womb. Now don't miss this next passage of Scripture, because it's tough, it's hard, but it lays the foundation for for where Hannah would go and what she would do. Skipping to verse number 6, it says, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival, Peninnah, kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and she could not eat. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, of course, as a man would do, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Of course, a man would say this. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? So the first season that I recognized in Hannah's life is what I would call the provoking season. The provoking is agitating. I wonder if you've ever been in a season like this. The provoking is irritating. Why you gotta rub it in my face? Why is it always, it's frustrating. It's uncomfortable. Why? Because you are now face to face with your current reality. No longer can you hide from it. No longer can you push it away. See, sometimes we can become content in our discontentment. We can become content in the fact that we're not happy, and we can just settle in the land of discontentment and just be okay with being discontent. Out of sight, out of mind. If I don't think about it, I won't have to deal with it. If I pray about it, then I have to think about it. And I've been trying to suppress it for so long. I've been trying to push it down and not have to think about it. And now it's coming back to the surface, the very thing that I've been trying to push down. And yes, Elkanah, I love you, but the one thing I want in life, you cannot give me. You've provided a great life for me. I have seemingly everything that I want, save one thing: a child. And for years, Elkanah, I could have just shrugged it off to a you problem. But then all of a sudden, Peninnah started having kids. And now what I could just shoo away as a you problem, I'm now very clear that it's not a you problem. That this is an issue that I have, and this is right in front of my face. Yes, I love you, and not only do I love you, and I can't have children, and this is coming to the surface again, but she's rubbing it in my face. I'm being provoked. I'm being irritated. It's causing me to be just a little on edge all the time. I'm gritting my teeth. Oh, I'm stirred up in my life. I'm antsy. And because I've been provoked, this thing that I've been discontented with, that I've pushed down for so long, is now back up to the surface of my life. And the thing has made me hungry again. I had become content in my discontentment. But now that she's provoking me, the provoking has caused a stirring in my life. This has reminded me again of how bad I really want this. And yet, though I want it so bad, I can't have it. And this message tonight is not just directed to pregnancy. This is directed to the thing in your life that you've been praying about for so long and you have yet to see it come to pass. The thing in your life that you have tried to push down and say, if I just don't think about it, then I won't worry about it. I won't lose sleep at night, so I'll just push it down and then I'll step on it. And we think it will go away, But there's been something in your spirit that has agitated you. There's been a provoking in your spirit. I don't know if it's a person. I don't know if it's dreams at night. I don't know if the Lord is waking you up. But something has been provoking you, and it's brought that thing back to the surface again in your life. It's the provoking season. See, what if Hannah had grown content in her discontentment? Maybe this is God's will for my life. I've just grown accustomed to this way of life. Maybe I'm not supposed to be even asking for this thing. Oh, but wait. What if on the backside of you saying, I've just grown accustomed in my discontentment, what if God was saying, see, what you don't understand is that though this is delayed, it does not mean that you're going to be denied. I know the timing right now doesn't seem like what you want, but this delay does not mean a denial. What if God wants to use this provoking season to stir that dream back up in your life that you have pushed down and suppressed, and you had grown accustomed to saying, you know what, maybe that's not for me. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't hear the voice of the Lord clearly. Maybe this is the provoking season that's stirring that dream again. Maybe it's agitating you in your spirit for a reason. See, you've been thinking the provoking is bad and it's unhealthy and it's wrong. But what if the provoking is God saying, listen, I won't provoke you, but I'll use this in the moment to get your attention. The thing that you thought was dead that would never happen. What if God wants to use this provoking season to push you into a new season? Now, we're about to transition into the second season of her life that I saw in her story, and this second season is incredibly important because now you're restless. Now I kind of had pushed it down and forgot about it, but now it's back to the surface. And I'm ready to see something happen in this. I'm ready to see some movement now. I can't push it down any longer. It's back up in front of me, and I'm ready. I'm ready for God to do something. I'm ready for something to be answered. I'm ready for some direction. I'm ready for some change. I'm ready. So what you do in this next season is incredibly important. The next season is not a season where you get to go wreck shop on everybody around you because now you're ready. Ooh, it's back up. I'm ready to go. It's not a season because, see, a lot of times the provoking season is not a fun season. Because it reminds you of what you don't have and what you wish you had. And so what we can do in the next season, if we're not careful, once it's stirred back up and we've been provoked, we have the tendency to go run our mouth and tell everybody how bad this season is. I don't like where my life is right now. This season stinks. God would get me out of this. I'm so fired up right now. I'm so ready for something to change. And everybody's around you. I'm ready for you to change. Okay, so this is why it's so important this next season. Here we go. Watch. Let's continue in her story. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. And in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. This is a Nazarite vow. And as she kept on praying to the Lord, to the Lord. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought, "You drunk?" And he said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I'm a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Watch, the provoking season in her life led to a pouring out season. And this is why I said, where you pour out is incredibly important. You don't go pour out to your coworkers and tell them how bad your life is. You don't go take it out on your spouse because everything hasn't come to pass the way that you thought it should have come to pass. You talk to them about it, but you don't take it out on them. Where you pour out is incredibly important, and some of us have been pouring out in the wrong places. Because now you're ready for the season to change, but we've got to guide that passion in the right direction. What if that passion was guided with your communication with the Lord? What if the provoking season led you to a pouring out season? What if it drove you to a prayer life like you've never had before? Can I ask you a question on this Wednesday night? When's the last time you've been broken in His presence? When is the last time that you have allowed tears to stream down your face? When's the last time that you got real and honest and transparent before the Lord? When is the last time that you tore all the pretenses down? When's the last time you stopped coming up with the perfect prayer to pray and you found yourself like Hannah? Pouring everything that you have out to the Lord. Lord, if you don't step in and intervene, I don't have a chance for this to happen. When's the last time? This is a serious question for real. When's the last time? And it's going to sound kind of gross. When's the last time that you wiped snot from your nose? Not because you had a cold, but because you had a burden. When's the last time you've been broken in His presence? See, I think sometimes the modern church is too buttoned up. I think sometimes we come to church and we just right here and just say, I'll stand in worship if it's comfortable for me, but I've got a Starbucks in my hand, and by George, I'm going to drink this Starbucks. Lord, I'll get back to you and just, when's the last time you've been broken in His presence? When's the last time you poured everything that you had out to Him? Come on, if you've been provoked in your spirit, if there's something that's irritating you and frustrating you and it's risen back to the surface, let it guide you to a pouring out season where you draw closer to Him than you've ever been in your life. When's the last time in prayer that you didn't care what your husband or what your wife thought when you were at home praying? What in the world are they doing in that closet? Y'all got me fired up. I didn't preach Sunday, and I'm my Lord. The provoking pushed her to a pouring out. Now watch it. Watch it. It gets better. Let's keep going. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. Eli answered, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of Him." And she says this, she says, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." And then she went away. Oh, I'm hungry again. And she ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Now her season just shifted. There was a provoking season to a pouring out season to now she just stepped into a season of promise. She just received a word from the man of God, knowing what the Lord was going to do. And just like that, her season just shifted and her season changed. And I don't know if it's true for you, but I know it's without question true for me that most oftentimes when I hear a promise from the Lord or I hear the voice of the Lord most clearly is when I'm in a season of pouring out. When I've poured out all of me, I have space for him to pour in everything that he wants to download into me. And so she receives the promise, and the promise changed her disposition. The Bible says that her appetite came back. The Bible says that her face was no longer downcast. She walked out of there with a smile on her face. She had been praying bitterness of soul, anguish of soul, and she gets a promise, and the promise changed everything for her. She walked out, "Yes, yes, sir, here we go." But don't miss what happens next. I ain't ready for what happens next. Verse 19. She just had received the promise, but early the next morning, they arose and they worshiped before the Lord. Now, what? Pause. Before you get fired up, you have to know that the season hasn't changed yet. She's still in the season of promise in her life. They haven't seen a baby. She's not even pregnant yet. But while they're holding on to a promise, the Bible says that they both woke up early and they worshiped before the Lord. Did you catch the word "they"? Which means she didn't do it by herself. Can I talk to some spouses in the house tonight? If your spouse has a word from the Lord, I wonder if you can reach over and grab their hand, and they're not going through it by themselves, but I wonder if you'll reach over in that time and you'll say, "Sweetheart, listen, you're not in this by yourself. I'm with you, heart and soul. We're gonna go do this together. I know all that we have is a promise, but if the Lord has promised it to you, he's promised it to me. I'm gonna go with you. I'm not gonna leave you in this all by yourself. God has put me with you. We're gonna go worship him together." And early the next morning, they rose and they worshiped the Lord. Okay, let's keep going. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home at Ramah. Now, this is why we have you have your kids in class. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah. Again, come to marriage night Friday night. It's going to be a great night. Okay, so let me read this again. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And just like that, her season shifted again. You see how quick it can be? You can be in a season for a long time, but boom, at a moment's notice, the season can change. Come on, that's good news for somebody in the house tonight. You've been in a certain season for a long time, and you've been hoping and wishing and praying that that season was going to change. And just like that, the season shifted and it changed, and we moved from a season of promise to now a season of pregnancy. And now a season of pregnancy and a birthing season. And now what was once shut up is now opened up. And just like that, what she once thought was denial was only a delay. And she named him Samuel. Why? Because I asked the Lord for him. Think about it for a second. Had there not been a provoking, chances are there would have never been a pouring out. And when did she ask for this sweet child, Samuel? In the pouring out. And because of the provoking and because of the pouring out, there was a pregnancy season right after the Lord had given her the promise. This is what it took. We might walk through the book of 1 Samuel for the next few Wednesday nights. I'm not sure. I haven't made my mind up for sure. But this is what it took for Samuel to be born. A provoking, a pouring out, a promise, and a pregnancy. Samuel, the last judge of Israel and their first prophet. Samuel, who functioned as a priest and was a man of incredible faith. Samuel, who would reject Saul and would anoint King David. That Samuel, can you imagine how the course of history would have been changed had Hannah stayed content in her discontentment? If she didn't allow the provoking to be pointed in the right direction. See, the provoking can push you one of two ways. It can push you further away, or it can push you closer to him than you've ever been in your life. And I'm telling you, there is only one option for you, sir. There is only one option for you, man. You don't want to go away. You want to draw closer to him than you've ever been. What if she didn't allow the provoking to push her into a pouring season? And the pouring season that led to a promise. She had a word, but she didn't have a baby. All she had was a word. But what did she do? She worshiped. Would you stand with me all across the room tonight? Let me show you this, and then I'll let you get out of here and get your kids to bed. She had a word, but she didn't have a child. She had a word, but she still hadn't seen the thing come to pass in her life. Come on, who is the Lord talking to tonight? Come on, you've been holding on to something, but it's yet to come to pass. You've pushed it down. You've tried to wish it away because you've been determined in yourself that this is not for me. This is not going to happen for me. But there's been a provoke. Maybe the provoking's been tonight. Maybe there's been something stirring now in your spirit. Something that you thought was dead is only dormant. And they worshiped when they weren't holding a baby. Let me finish with this. Isaiah 51. Sing, barren woman who never bore a child but burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman. I wonder tonight, even if all that you're holding on to is a promise on this Wednesday night, and you have yet to see that thing, whatever it is, come to pass in your life, I wonder if there's an area in your life that has been shut up. An area in your life that hasn't been working properly. That thing that it just won't open. You've been praying, you've been waiting for the breakthrough, but it just won't happen. I wonder if you can worship when all you have is a promise. I wonder if you can open up your mouth when all you have is a word and you haven't seen it come to pass. Sing, O barren. Sing, person whose life has an area that is shut up and locked down. and you've been waiting for that release. You've been waiting for that open door. Can I tell you tonight? You got to sing tonight. You got to find words of adoration to your heavenly Father. Pastor Randy, do you have a song lined up for us? You always have a song. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let Pastor Randy take it from here for the next hour. I'm just kidding. I don't know who this was for tonight, but if I were you, if I'm holding on to a promise and I haven't yet seen it come to pass, I wouldn't just worship from where I was tonight. If I were you, as a sign of surrender, I would say, Lord, let me get out from where I am, and I'm going to walk down to the front. I'm just going to, as a sign of saying, Lord, I want something to move and change in my life. If that's you, why don't you make your way down here? Why don't we just worship him?
Wow, what an incredible and powerful service we just experienced. And on behalf of our pastoral team, leadership team, and staff, we want to thank you for tuning into Christian Life Austin Online. We pray that this service remains in your heart and helps lead you to your next steps on your faith journey. We want to take this moment to allow you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus if you've never made that choice before. Whether you're watching in your living room, kitchen, or on vacation, we know that Jesus will meet you right where you are. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." If you want salvation today, it's as simple but as powerful as confessing Jesus as Lord of your life and having faith that God raised him from the dead. We're going to take a moment to pray together. Feel free to pray out loud, repeat after me, or use your own words. Jesus, thank you for this service today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your love pouring out over us. Lord, I pray right now for forgiveness of our sins and of our old life. God, I pray that your goodness and provision would wash over us as we start a new life with you. You say that when we believe what you did on the cross, that you died and were raised from the dead, that we receive salvation. So Lord, today we put our faith in you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this new life. And I pray right now you would give us a new determination, a new grit, and a new boldness for a new identity in Jesus Christ and in you alone. We love you, Lord, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. My goodness, congratulations to all of you who made the decision to give your life to Jesus. All of heaven is celebrating you, and we're celebrating with you. But hey, we know this is only step one. We want you to know that you are not alone on this walk, and we are not leaving you to figure it out by yourself. We want to partner with you as we walk through our core values: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives of others. We would love to help you take your next steps. Whether it's water baptism, joining a life group, or getting plugged in serving through Growth Track, we have everything you need to make this process easy, accessible, and applicable to your life, no matter what stage of life you're in. You are somebody at Christian Life Austin, and you are somebody to the kingdom of heaven. We want to know what your next step is, and we want to hear from you if you gave your life to Jesus today. Please click the link in the description so we can get connected with you. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we can't wait to see you in person at Christian Life Austin.